For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Subscribe to the Hit That Line Podcast Network.
This podcast is powered by the pros at Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric. Arkansas owned, Arkansas operated. GoPascal.com.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
I'm always high on the hogs, guys. I'm high. Well, I'm not high right now, but my day is young.
My odometer's way up there. I'm that 2018 that's already got 130,000 miles on it.
The Razorbacks rush across the field to get that boot.
Tommy, Chuck, and Ty, you guys are the gold standards of sports talk radio.
He bleeds to Arkansas.
Ty's got good hair.
You fell asleep last night late, which I did. I was watching the Denver Nuggets blowing out the Minnesota Timberwolves. Somehow, some way, the T-Wolves came back and won in Denver and defeated the defending champion. So, we have two former Razorbacks going up against each other in the Western Conference Finals. Not one that you necessarily think on the Minnesota side. Remember, Carlos Williamson is an assistant for the Timberwolves, and then Daniel Gafford, of course, who had a tremendous series against my Oklahoma City Thunder, helped eliminate them in Dallas on Saturday night. A tough outcome, went down to the bitter end. I was very disappointed in the way that I felt like that we choked it away. Had a lead for the majority of the game. Big C, your Mavericks pulled it out. And now, again, one Razorback at least will be representing his team for the upcoming NBA Finals from the Western Conference.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think about Coral. I mean, yes, he's on the bench, but I hear what you're saying. But, had the Game 7 yesterday with the Pacers and the Knicks. That mildly entertaining. So getting pretty close here to having it all set, and won't be long. And another month, I guess it'll be, we'll be wrapping up the NBA season.
Pacers shot a playoff record 67%, much to the chagrin of Chuck Barrett. You had Jalen Brunson fracturing his left hand, and the New York Knicks just injuries derailed their season. Tom Thibodeau is going to have to regroup his team for next season. They got a lot of young pieces. Brunson was a big pickup for them, getting in from the, I guess, the Mavs a couple years back, but just not the way that Knicks fans wanted to end it. I was kind of hoping personally for a Boston Celtics and New York Knicks NBA Eastern Conference Finals, but I think the Pacers actually might give Boston a better series overall than the New York Knicks will. But that is what happened yesterday. You've got, again, those games begin, I think they're Tuesday night, if I remember that right. No games on tonight, if I remember that correctly, as you get ready for this upcoming. The Pacers and Celtics are 7 o'clock on ESPN on Tuesday night, and they're staggering them. The Mavs and Timberwolves will be at 7:30 on TNT. I know Anthony Edwards, former Georgia Bulldog, was having some fun with Charles Barkley, talking about him coming back to Minnesota. Apparently, hadn't been there in 20 years. They haven't really done much in 20 years since KG left, but Finch and those guys, they figured it out, and despite being down 20 plus against the defending NBA champion, they got it done last night.
Yeah. Well, how you feel about the Hogs? They're headed to Hoover. Lost 2 of 3 at A&M, Western Division champs. I almost felt watching that game on, let's see, Saturday, that I won't say they just rolled them out there. I don't think that was quite the case. A&M felt like they had something to prove, but you know, how do you feel about where you stand going into this week as the number two seed in the tournament.
Dave didn't use certain guys to send for Hoover next week. He was very he got pissed in the press conference. He was like, "I've said this four times."
Yeah.
They did roll him out there. They didn't care. Once the lead stretch, you got to remember it's a one run game in the sixth inning, and then all of a sudden A&M opened it up, and they didn't try and come back. They didn't try. They let it go to the rope, and I don't blame him. Like, I know a lot of you wanted in this series this weekend with a 2-1 series win or even a 3-0 sweep over the Aggies, and you had a chance on Friday. Thursday, you blew it, even though Agin had 14 strikeouts, didn't get any hitting. 0-for-9 with runners in scoring position. Are you kidding me? Guys got to step up in that situation. I know A&M's got good hitting, but 0-for-9 with runners in scoring position, 2-for-19 with runners on, that is it's borderline pathetic, to be perfectly honest. But you move on to Friday, you get that 6-3 win, and then, again, Saturday, it's a one-run game in the sixth. A&M gets going, just starts creaming you in the sixth and seventh. And he didn't really try and come back. I don't blame him. You move on.
You won
the SEC West. It's not going to affect your overall chance to be a regional or super regional or national seed. So why? Like, you've talked about the regular season. Like, who cares? Why do you care about a Game 3 meaningless series at that point?
I think you need to find some arms you trust in spots, maybe shorter windows. But I thought Bibee, until the end, he went 2 1/3, and I thought had some good stuff for a while, and then nothing seemed to work after that. But I think they realized, hey, maybe there's an exit door here in 7 innings versus 9, and they I don't say they took that, but that's just the way. And I think A&M sniffed that out, and they took a little pride in run ruling the Hogs in that third game. I don't know. I'll be interested to see, does that series and the way it played out have any weight at all? I'm asking because I don't know. Does it have any weight at all with the committee when you come to handing out the national seeds? A&M wins the series, but they're the fourth seed in the tournament. So I'll be interested to see the order of, because I believe Kentucky, Tennessee, Arkansas, A&M are all four top eight national seeds. What order are they in when the committee hands out the bracket? What, a week from today? I guess you'll know the regional sites and that a little bit ahead of that, but the actual full bracket comes out on Memorial Day.
Yeah, and I had a question, and maybe Chuck.
It wouldn't surprise me if A&M's ahead of Arkansas in those top eight national seeds.
Yeah, and I don't know how they're going to distinguish head-to-head. I think Arkansas also has a better overall record and a better FCC record, and I know what happened this week in Blue Belt Park, but curious, like you, how the committee rules on that. Someone needs to help me out, though. Doesn't Kentucky have a better SEC record, and they beat you head-to-head, and they're somehow the two seed in the...
Well, because Tennessee beat Kentucky in the regular season. Division champs get 1 and 2.
Okay, that's where it is.
Division champs are 1 and 2. That's why Kentucky's 3.
Okay, that's where it is.
Tennessee gets the 1 because of they had a tied record with Kentucky. Head-to-head gives them the... But the division champs get 1 and 2.
Okay, that makes sense. I guess starting next year, that won't matter. No divisions for baseball. But I was looking at it this weekend. I was looking at the records, and I was like, someone help me.
Yeah, that's how that goes. All right, what do you think? McClarty-Daniel hotline is open. I thought A&M showed enough that if the committee puts them ahead of Arkansas in the seedings... The eye test, not just this weekend, but over the last month, they don't like to say it, but might favor the Aggies in a more complete team. What do you think? Call or text 877-377-6963. We're brought to you by the Fence Man. We made our Fence Man Friday picks Friday, and Chuck picked Xander Schauffele to win the PGA Championship. Spot on.
Who was up at the time, I heard.
That make it dumb? Anyway, the Fitz, that doesn't make Chuck dumb.
He picked the leader at the
time.
Well,
that's not stupid, you know.
Call or text the McClarty Daniel hotline at 877-377-6963. McClarty Daniel, a vehicle for every lifestyle.
When you're looking for a new car, you want to shop for a vehicle you love with an organization you trust. You've probably heard that McClarty Daniel means making deals, but what I'm inspired by the most is that McClarty Daniel means making a difference in our community. When you buy a vehicle with McClarty Daniel, you reinvest right here in the community, in our schools, in our little leagues, in our food banks, and our people. So you're not just making a purchase, you're making a difference too. Come see us at any of our 6 locations in Northwest Arkansas.
BetOnline is your number one source for all summer sports, from Major League Baseball, golf, to the NBA and NHL playoff stats. They've got all the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Bet online, where the game starts.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
So I didn't get a chance to talk about Hagen's performance on Friday, so I want to do that right now. Again, 14 strikeouts for the lefty from Bullard, Texas.
He's ahead of Montgomery, 1-2. The pitch. He struck him out looking. Backdoored him with a slider. Hagen Smith strikes out the side in the sixth inning, and he finishes the sixth with his 14th strikeout.
It's the first time all season that Hagen Smith has pitched and started a game that Arkansas ended up losing. He was not credited with the loss, but Arkansas went on to lose the game in extras 1-0, unfortunately due to some miscues down the stretch. Now, again, this team cannot just be Hagen Smith. We saw firsthand Thursday night that even if Hagen has an outstanding performance, they can still find a way to lose the game. You don't want to be in a situation like that again. You need the hitters to wake up. But I did find it funny. They posted this video after Hagen broke the strikeout record, which I know he'd much rather break it in a win than a loss. Here was Nick Schmidt, the guy that he surpassed in the all-time list, and what he had to say about a fellow lefty wearing number 33.
Congrats, Hagen, on surpassing me on the all-time strikeout record. Bittersweet, but at least it's a lefty who wears 33. I wish you well the rest of the year. Go Hawks.
So he was not in attendance. They just posted that video. Looked like, honestly, Nick was at the beach or something. And I don't know if
where else when it was done.
Yeah,
weeks ago.
And that's a good point too. But I remember so when Ray Allen broke Reggie Miller's all-time three-point record, Reggie was on the broadcast for that game. I also remember when Steph Curry broke then Ray Allen's record, and Ray Allen was in attendance for that game. I kind of wish that Nick was in attendance, but he wasn't. But it's kind of like, man, I wish I still had this record. But if you're going to give it to someone, I think Hagen's about as deserving as it gets.
It's a school record. It's not a sport record. So, I mean, you don't travel somebody around till they do it. But I hear what you're saying. But it's sentimental to us. The rest of the world doesn't care. But, I think we still don't, all of us, the collective we, you, me, everyone list, we really don't fully appreciate what we've been watching with Hagen Smith. We may never see anything like this again. The dominance, not just the strikeout numbers, not just the records, and he'll end up with the single season record as well. I think he's five away from it. We may never see anything like this again. Someone approach these numbers. I mean, it's just pretty remarkable what we have seen. And I don't think, at least I don't feel like I fully appreciate what we're getting to watch here. I don't think it'll be a year or two after he's gone and we return to normal where we've never even considered losing a Friday night game with him. You know, that's why Friday was so shiny. It was a 1-0 game. It's not like you went out there and got pelted. Yeah. You know, so, we'll look up next year, man. Wish we had old Hagen Smith back here. Says, there's nothing like him in this league right now. And it seems like every year there's a pitcher like him or Skeens or someone you point to in the league that's clearly head and shoulders above the rest of the already dominant SEC.
Yeah, and you think about Arkansas in the last 6 years or so, having Blaine Knight, having Isaiah Campbell, having some guys on Friday night that you've thoroughly enjoyed watching, and that's just kind of the recent. Nick Schmidt, Arkansas has had plenty of All-American, All-SEC pitchers under Dave Van Horn. We've been very blessed in that regard. Now, that's the guy you saw on Thursday night. What about a guy you didn't see this weekend whose timeline, again, is up in the air, at least in our eyes, in the public eye, is up in the air? I bet Dave Van Horn and Matt Hobbs know what they're doing with Brady Tiger. When asked about why Tiger didn't pitch this weekend, did travel, but wasn't on the roster, here's what he said about the Mississippi native.
Giving him a little downtime, let him get over his soreness, and played a lot of catch yesterday, looked good, said he felt good. We went at him, looked at this past Monday, Tuesday, and came back fine. So I think just a little bit of downtime, hopefully we'll do him some good, and he'll pitch for us in the tournament.
I don't know. We talked about this before the show. I don't know if that means a possible start on Wednesday or Thursday. I tend to think you give Hagen an extra day's rest. You pitched him on Thursday. If you make it to Friday, you pitch Hagen. If not, so be it. He doesn't pitch this weekend. It's not the or this week. It's not the end of the world. But do we see Brady Tigert one of the first 2 days? Because you'll play two games automatically. It's not. It's double elimination. Remember, single elimination the first day for those teams, and then it moves to double elimination Wednesday, Thursday, and then back to single on Friday. Do we see Mr. Brady Tigert? I tend to think so, but I've been wrong before.
Okay, so who's the most rested arm on your staff?
It'd be Tigert.
Be Tigert. When's your first game?
Wednesday.
I think I would suspect here. Everything Dave said is spot on, and there's not some, you know, something else going on that we're just not aware of, that he's not telling us. I think we see Brady Tigert Wednesday. It may be two or three innings. Maybe he can give you a little longer. I don't think you need him to. I think you just want to go out, get through the rotation, maybe get three innings in, four innings, maybe see the front end of the rotation twice and get him out of there. So he's the most rested arm you got. Didn't pitch last weekend, obviously. I think Tigert starts on Wednesday against, Bama or South Carolina?
Yeah, in my opinion, and Dave knows more about this than I do, but I think you liked what you saw from Mason Molina coming out of the bullpen and the three innings. He shut out nine guys. I think if you're up in this game on Wednesday, I think you bring Brady out of the pen. I don't think you necessarily start him. I do think you should play him if he's okay Wednesday or Thursday, but I like the idea of bringing him out of the pen a little bit to get him back in rhythm rather than just throwing him out against either Alabama or South Carolina.
But back in rhythm, he's going to need to be a starter for you. You're going to have someone you really trust to go out maybe in that 1-4 matchup. I would presume Hagan Smith will not pitch in the 1-4 game.
Hey, sports fans, don't let plumbing issues throw you off your game. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric is here to tackle those pesky drain blockages and ensure your water heater is always in MVP form. With Pascal's world-class service, you can count on a winning play every time. Whether it's a quick drain clear or a water heater touchdown, Pascal's got the expertise to keep your home running smoothly. Stay in the game and leave the plumbing to the pros. Schedule your service online anytime at gopascal.com. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
So I was listening to you guys real time Friday morning, and I was unaware of the news because I hadn't picked up my phone and gotten on X or Facebook or seen any social media. A lot of my friends weren't up yet. And to hear y'all real time react to the news that Jeff Darlington, the video had posted, that I guess me and Scotty have something in common. We've both been behind bars, but that was about as crazy.
It's an exclusive club.
Yeah, it is. That was about as it. That's like that's a story you expect to hear about John Daly. You don't expect to hear that about Scottie Scheffler, and who's about the most clean cut golfer. And I said, and this might get some pushback, but I said that like something needs to happen. I remember saying this after the Masters win that something needs to happen to him that like brings him down a level. As dumb as that may sound, guys, this like he felt more like a common man after this weekend, regardless of the situation, and I don't want to make light of what happened at 5 a.m. at the death of that, the bystander, or the pedestrian. Pedestrian, but this was about as odd a story that I've seen, and frankly, not the death, I need to separate the death, but I thought it was kind of good for golf, what happened this weekend, in my opinion.
Certainly got a lot of attention. Now, it's all going to, I guess, come to a head with, I guess, the arraignment, the process, and all that will take place, and he's got the resources to hire the best attorneys and get the best representation. I thought about it over the weekend, though, and Chuck, you've got some experience being around this a little bit. The person that really hates this is the prosecuting attorney or the DA or whoever's going to have to make a decision on what they actually go forth and charge and try to take the trial. And you're either going to make the police mad that feel like you should go all the way and not cut him any slack because he's a celebrity. We know about some of the history in recent times in Louisville and their police department, that the prosecuting attorney or DA or whatever it's called there has got their hands full trying to figure out what you're going to do in a very high-profile case.
I don't think anything's going to happen. I think it's going to go away. There's no disagree. Body cam video.
Yeah.
I do think you must separate the fatality and what happened with what happened with Scottie Scheffler. Two entirely different situations. I will say this, though, and I didn't think about this when we were on the air Friday, and I really didn't think about it much until I saw the video later. It was dark then. It's not like this happened during the daytime. You know, if it's daytime and it's pouring down rain, but what about when it's dark and it's pouring down rain? And you're in an area where there are a lot of bright lights and there's all kinds of stuff going on. I don't know what happened. I wasn't there. But I question, very frankly, whether or not Scottie Scheffler should have kept driving. But I also question, very frankly, was it necessary for the officer to grab hold of the car and allow himself to be dragged for 20 or 30 feet? Was it really necessary that he latch onto the car and not let go while some country club kid was driving his caddy into the golf course? I mean, to me, it just seems like maybe everybody took themselves a little too seriously.
Yeah,
and the cops, Scottie Scheffler, everybody.
Yeah, you know.
And I think when it's all said and done, I don't think there's going to be much come of this.
Jeff Darlington was on Marty and McGee Saturday morning, and for, live from Valhalla. That's where Marty was doing the show from. And he went through a lot of it because he was there. He happened to be the car or two back and just happened to be there to witness exactly what unfolded. And he said, you know, it's being written in some ways that, you know, he'd went in an area, drove his car. He said he went around one vehicle and the bus because that's what players had been instructed to do. The idea that he drove for miles on the median is not accurate. And this is what Jeff Darlington was saying. So I tend to agree with kind of the sentiment you're laying out, Chuck. I think some of this is being overblown. I think some of the reporting has been sensationalized.
Ugh.
And I think in the end, they'll find a peaceful resolution and probably Scotty donates a little money and it all goes away.
Here's two things that I thought of when I'm watching this video live and I'm listening to you guys. One, Scotty said after the fact that he did not name drop himself. I realize you don't want to be a DB, but you have to let the officer know, sir,
I'm a player.
I'm Scottie Scheffler. I'm allowed to play. Two, if you're Jeff Darlington, I know the conversation he had with the cops and the guy kept saying step back and he adhered to what the cops said. But in that situation, even as a media reporter, you say, sir, that is Scottie Scheffler, the number one golfer in the world. That to give someone some help, because I mean, these cops, I know they're there on side, and some of them may be golf fans or not. But as you said, Chuck, it's like Scotty referred to it as a chaotic situation. It's dark, it's rainy. You don't know.
It's the heat of the moment, and
again, someone just passed away about an hour before. So it is it's an influx of so many things in that time. I just don't know how cooler heads didn't prevail in that situation.
Well, because you got a bunch of ego going on, that's why. And, you know, Scottie Scheffler, he probably shouldn't have, you know, in retrospect, he probably should have stayed put. But again, I mean, there was no reason. I mean, it's you don't put a guy up against a car and cuff him and tell somebody else to get away because he's going to jail. I mean, that's overkill, too. Could have been avoided. I'll just put it that way.
Think about Scotty's weekend. So he holds out on one from the fairway on Thursday. Friday, this happens. And then Saturday, by the way, his caddy is flying back to his daughter's high school graduation. Mm-hmm. So he had a fill-in caddy on Saturday. So quite a weekend for Scottie Scheffler.
Yeah. Max Homa had a great tweet. I guess they're buddies. He was ribbing him. He said, I literally got beat Friday by a guy who spent the morning in jail. It's time for me to quit.
I promise he's taking some heat in the locker room from his buddies.
Oh, yeah.
Hi, everybody. This is Chris George from Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Christmas gifts, weddings, heirloom family treasures. And at Joshua's Fine Jewelry, we only have one sale every year, and it's right now. Every single item in our store is value priced for Christmas. We do custom one-of-a-kind jewelry. If that's what you're looking for, come see us. You can get anything fixed for a Christmas gift. Selection, quality, service, and Christmas red tag prices now through Christmas at Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville.
Hi,
Have you tried Benville Brewing's new Space Goose Hazy India Pale Ale? It's handcrafted in Arkansas. You'll taste the great tropical citrus, including the passion fruit, the guava, and pineapple. It's creamy, zingy, and zows the taste buds. It's weird, wonderful, and wacky all at the same time. Try the new Space Goose Hazy India Pale Ale from Benville Brewing.
So how are you feeling about this baseball team after this weekend, the SEC Western Division champs? I said last Monday I felt like they'd win one of the three games. I didn't think it was game number two. I thought it was going to be Hagen's game. They ended up losing Thursday night, close 1-0 extra inning battle, 6-3 on Friday, and then a 14-4 drubbing on Saturday. And you got to remember, that game three was a one-run game in the sixth, and like I just mentioned, you had a giant chance to win that game one, just weren't able to. So I don't really feel any different. You're going to Hoover this week, go to and barbecue, doesn't really matter to me. You'll play in Fayetteville Regional this upcoming weekend after this one, and then if you win that, you're in the Supers back in Baum Walker Stadium. So this weekend, I'm going to be honest, did not change my opinion on Arkansas baseball whatsoever.
If you're fortunate enough to beat Bama or South Carolina, they play in game two tomorrow. And then if you win that game, there's a good, pretty high likely chance you'll play Tennessee on Thursday at 4:30. That'd be a nice little, that'd be a tasty little matchup if that came to pass, Chuck.
Yeah, it'd be a nice game for TV. I'm sure they'd enjoy having that.
Tennessee gets Vandy or Florida, by the way, but they'd have to beat one of them.
I would imagine that would be a game people would be interested in. I want to say one thing, though, before we go on any further. We don't give this program enough credit for the Western Division championships that they've won. They've won five of the last six. As a fan base, we take the attitude, we all do, whether we want to admit it or not. I don't really care about the West. I'd like to win the overall, but what I really want to do is go to Omaha and win the whole thing. We all think that way. There's no shame in that as fans. But I can tell you from experience, and I heard it in Dave's voice, in the tone of his voice, after this series this weekend, it's always bothered them, I think. I don't believe I'm speaking out of turn. I think it's always bothered them that they've not gotten credit for the Western Division championships that they've won. The last four national champions, correct me if I'm wrong, Ty, the last four national champions have come out of the SEC Western Division.
I know it's
three. All right, yeah. Whatever. We act like winning the division's no big deal. I mean, you're beating the best teams in the country to win the division. Yeah. And I don't think that's celebrated enough.
To your point, we say the same thing in football. It's the best division in football.
And you won that three times, too. Now, on that, I'll just go and place Dave's clips that you referenced. Here's what Dave said about, again, the SEC Western Division title.
Just really proud of our team, proud of the coaching staff, the program as a whole, to be able to hang in there in the Western Division, one of the toughest divisions in the country, year in and year out. Just pretty good run, honestly. You know, what can I say? I mean, it's one of our goals. When we start out, we're in the Western Division. We want to finish on top. And, you know, there's a lot of teams that haven't been able to do that. And we've done it five out of the last 6 years and came in second the year we didn't do it. And then kind of let it go that last weekend, a couple, 3 years ago. And feels good.
I know they're going away, but if you just stop and think, divisions in sports, pro or college, any sport, is there a tougher division? Name me something that would be tougher than the SEC West in baseball.
Be hard to find.
Yeah.
Be hard to find.
It is the SEC. Greg Sankey and his team are going to look back at this decision, and they may reassess and readjust down the road, but this is a mistake.
That's a different subject. What I'm talking about is I think that we should give this program more credit than we've given them for winning that division. And instead of coming out of the final weekend, which a lot of people are, let's just be honest, I'm worried now. I'm afraid this is all crashing like it always does. Nobody's thinking about the fact that they won the SEC West. And I just think that's an accomplishment that should be celebrated.
Because
we can move on from there.
Everything you're saying is right. But I think at the same time, you look at Ole Miss, you look at Mississippi State, I don't believe they won the division, but they won the national title. And in the end, one doesn't equal the other. And so I think that's what, from a viewpoint from the cheap seats, Yeah. And winning the division's great. You can put that out on the wall, and it's a nice ring and a memory for the players. But in the end, winning the division doesn't mean anything down the road. Not winning the division.
Sure it does. Well, absolutely. It may not for you as a fan.
Here's my...
Of course, it means something.
Well, I'm talking about in Omaha. I've watched two teams from this division that didn't win it in recent years win the national title.
But that's my point, is everyone focuses strictly on the national championship, and they don't celebrate what they've done.
Yeah, there's some...
I mean, that's a byproduct of the success.
I don't mean this in a bad way, but you're making my point for me.
Right.
There's some meat on this bone. Let's continue, because we're deviating from the question. Do you feel any different about this weekend?
Not really.
Okay. I don't either. Chuck, do you feel any different about this weekend?
No.
After this weekend, I don't either. All right, it's consensus. All right, that's your Morning Rush Daily
question.
It's presented by Red River Dodge in Heber Springs, Arkansas's number one Ram dealer. Log on at RedRiverDodge.com. All right, so the Oklahoma City Thunder were eliminated on Saturday night. Now, in part, Isaiah Joe, Jalen Williams kept them in the game. Isaiah hit a three at the end of the half that had them rolling. Unfortunately, they let it slip away.
Gilgeous Alexander going away from the screen. Fires to Joe. Step back three and drills it. Isaiah Joe hitting the three.
Isaiah has a team option this upcoming season. I hope they keep him. I think he was a big part. Ended up starting the last couple games and for Josh Giddey. We were kind of talking this earlier. He is such a floor spacer with his ability to shoot the basketball. Him and Jalen, again, big part of that rotation. I think they're going to end up bringing him back. I don't know. Mavs move on. They will play the Minnesota Timberwolves that somehow, some way won last night against the Denver Nuggets. Anthony Edwards and company were down by 20-plus, I think, in the third quarter and still lost. I mean, I don't know how that happened, to be quite honest, but it was quite a game.
Oh, there's a steal by Edwards. Here he comes, and there he goes. Quick hands, active hands with the Timberwolves. They're going to send the double hand man. Edwards, it's a three.
This is the part where you say you usually start watching the conference finals. I've heard you talk about it.
I've watched
really,
more, though, because of the Thunder.
Because of Oklahoma State. And I reference it. It's not necessarily the conventional Arkansas matchup you think of. Corliss is technically not playing, but he is an assistant for the Minnesota Timberwolves. And Daniel Gafford, who had another solid performance for the Mavs. Big Gafford, Christian, I know you were happy about that to help him close out game six. But you will have a Razorback, either player or coach, that is in the NBA Finals, regardless of the Mavs or the Timberwolves win.
We love Corliss. But I want to watch the players.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a different discussion. I'm not going to compare Razorback versus Razorback when one's on the floor or not. But I've been more interested because of the Thunder, because two guys from my hometown are playing and matter, are factors in the game. So, yeah, it's been more engaging. I think not just because there's been more Razorbacks involved, but because there's personal relationships and people feel connected to this. So, yeah, I'm saddened that the Thunder are out.
Yeah, that is unfortunate, but that is a
setup. They'll be back, though.
I hope so.
They're
man.
Really stacked. I mean, they've got all the right pieces, and they've just got to add maybe one more big man.
Yeah, and we'll see if they end up or doing that. It doesn't sound like Gordon Hayward's going to be back in the offseason. So the setup is as follows. You got the Pacers and the Celtics, which gets going on Tuesday night, and then the Timberwolves and the Mavericks on Wednesday. So that is your NBA playoffs and against Arkansas Razorbacks involved. I'm not as invested, like you said, because Oklahoma City has exited, but that's what the playoffs look like in the conference finals, and we'll find out who's in the finals.
This podcast has been presented by Bet Online.
This podcast is an exclusive property of Pearson Broadcasting. It may not be copied, reproduced, modified, published, uploaded, reposted, transmitted, or distributed in any way without Pearson Broadcasting's prior written consent.
Subscribe to the Hit That Line Podcast Network, the best podcast in the Natty State. Just search Hit That Line wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.